creation has come. Say that with me. The new creation has come. One more time. Say it.
The new creation
has come. All right. Now, for those who are skeptics, these are for the skeptics. Right beside that, sons of God. The new creation has come. See, this is for the skeptic, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But the Bible said also that flesh is the opponent of the spirit. So I know anytime I minister something, the flesh will war against it. It's natural. All right? So the new creation has come. See, this is what Paul, this is why they stoned Paul. This is why they could not accept Paul. Because I'm going to show you what he meant when he said a new creation has come. Therefore, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Watch what he said about the old. The old has gone. Okay, do you have that? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Okay, we don't have that in the Zonovan. All right, it's okay. The new creation has come. The old creation has gone. The new is here. 2,000 years ago. It is, all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself. Not just one man, the world to himself. Reconciling, restoring the world to himself. And the Bible says, and given to us the ministry of reconciliation, Paul says, And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, Paul says, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. So that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. All right. Now, we already gave you our subject. So we are talking about the new creation has come. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, not Pastor Crump, the Bible says, that therefore any man be in Christ. Now, you are in Christ if you believe the word. So you have to understand, I'm showing you first everything God has done. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Not 2 Corinthians 3, Ephesians 3. See, none of this apply to you if you're an unbeliever. I am speaking to the believers. All right. Ephesians chapter 3. My job is to show you what God had done for you. You don't have to believe it. Ephesians chapter 3. Now, this is the Apostle Paul ministry. I'm going to be taking you to what I call fourth dimension. Sometimes we say, we go on to another level, go on to another level. Well, you have to know what the other level is. It's called fourth dimension. That's where we are. So I'm going to minister where we are today. See, that's why I want her to sing that song, We Are New Creation. Old things are passed away, not going to pass away. God gave Paul this 2,000 years ago. See, the key is we just don't want to accept it, a lot of us. And a lot of us, we just don't know. So I'm going to deal with the one that don't know. All right. So here, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to read down to 6 verses, okay? We are in the King James, back in the King James, verse 1. For this, Paul said, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Remember, Paul's message is to the Gentiles. Now, remember, we don't have Gentiles today. See, that's why we are going to a fourth dimension, because I'm telling you who you are today. You're sons of God. Now, I know I don't get a ooh-hoo or what of that, but if I told you the Negro, you'll be, hey. That's been done away with. See, my job is to tell you who you are, not who you act like. All right? The greatest word for you to use as a son of God is Father. So when you call God your Father, is higher, don't cut me down, than any name that's named when you're speaking to God as your Father. So you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The Father is your creator. And that's who Jesus is. He created all things, but now he's Father. See, you can recognize him all these other ways, but Father, just like for my example, I have five children. I'm their pastor, but there's no word higher than Father. How many understand what I just said? They are my children, but when they come to me as talking to me as Father, that puts them in the position of son or daughter. Now, I'm going to show you in the Word of God that God wants to be honored as Father. So we're going to recognize him in this house from this day on as Father. Can I get a few hand claps? Just a few. All right. That don't stop him from being Jesus. Don't stop him from being Christ. Don't stop none of those words. But the highest word is when you recognize him as your Father. Now you are speaking as a son. You know you are a son. Even Jesus himself says, Father. Jesus called him who? Father. Right. My Father. Jesus taught us how a son is supposed to talk to Father. All right. That's why you see, I pray to my Father. Everything is to the Father. All right. Now, we got that straight. Let's move on. Now, we are son. That word, the new creation has come. He's talking about sons. But for you to know is for me to teach you. I know we have people think they already got it. So I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to people who wants to know. How many want to know? All right. Now, let's go back to Genesis from the beginning. Now, I'm going to take the first service to get you knowledgeable for the second. And I hope I get a chance to get into the second service. Let's go back to Genesis chapter number 1. And we're going to look at verse 27. You got to move pretty fast because I got a lot of information. So I can't wait on you. I got to go by the screen. Genesis chapter 1. I'm not going to be able to get that right now. I'm going to get that when I get down there. Just keep that in your notes. That's something I need to do in my notes. Ephesians 3, 1 through 6. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27 is where we start on the screen. Let's read it. So God created man in his image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and what? Have dominion. So God created man to replenish and multiply the earth. Now remember, Adam at this time was the righteous seed. Say it, Adam was the seed of the righteous. Exactly. Now remember, it does not keep God from having other nations in the earth, but he's talking to Adam. The Bible is not about them. The Bible is about Adam. All right. Now let's follow this and show you this. Go to the book of Genesis chapter number 1, back up to verse 1. And we're going to show you something in verse 4. We're going to show you that word that called division, when God divided. Now, there were no, God had not created daughters yet. So you got to listen real good. God had not created daughters. All right? When he get to Genesis chapter 2 and 3, we're only going to see Cain and Abel. We know that. Chapter 4, right? So he had not created daughters. You don't create daughters until after you get Seth, S-E-T-H, because you have to start off with the righteous seed again. All right? So here we go. Genesis chapter 1, verse 4 is what I want on the screen. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 4. All right, follow me along. Genesis chapter 1, verse, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God did what? He divided. Now you're seeing God begin to divide. He divided the light. Now you have night and day. Now you got to see what division. You got to see, I'm going to show you divided. So when you got down to the Gentiles, when I get down there, I'm going to show you God divided again. He divided Jews and Gentiles. That's Genesis. I'm not there yet. Genesis chapter number 17. When I get down there, you're going to deal with Abraham. God's going to give him what you call circumcision. When God gets the circumcision, the covenant of circumcision, that's when you're going to have division again. Well, you're going to have Jews and Gentiles now. He's going to divide Jews and Gentiles. When I back up to Noah, after the destruction, he's going to have three sons. But he's only going to divide into nothing but Gentiles. Ham is always in the middle. Now, Ham was Jews, but you're going to have, I can't bring that word up yet, but that's where they came from. So you're going to have Shem, you're going to have Ham and Japheth. Now, three nations, the nation, Gentile nation is divided into three. All right, but once you get down to Abraham, God's going to separate it into two, which is going to be Jews and Gentiles. All right, you're going to know Jews because of the Abrahamic covenant. You don't have to be, you can't be a Jew to become a Jew. You was a Gentile, became a Jew because you were circumcised. I just want you to understand, you weren't born a Jew. Everybody was born Gentile. All right. Now, we're in Genesis chapter 4. We just read to you. He divided, got night and day. Let's go to verse 7. Genesis chapter 1, verse 7. Don't try to get ahead of me. You're being taught. That's for those who want to know. We're talking to believers. Okay. Verse 7. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under waters from the waters which was above the waters, and it was so. Now, what do you have now? Heaven and earth. If you're keeping notes, that the second division, heaven and earth. All right. Then we're going to go down to verse number 10. I'm going to go over to chapter 10. I'm going to have to back up, but I want to go to 10 because I want to show you something. Are we going to come back? 10:25. Well, we'll do 5, 25, and 32. I'm just going to show them to you. I'm not going to spend no time here. Genesis chapter 10, verse 5, 25, 31, and 32. Verse 5, read it. By these were the isles of the Gentile divided into the lands, everyone after their tongue, after their family and nation. So I'm showing you when God divided. Go down to verse 25. I'm not teaching this now. I want to show you something. Down in verse 25, unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg. In those days was the earth divided. The earth was divided. All right. Now let's go down to verse 31, 32. So you saw God dividing. All right. Verse 31. These are the sons of Shem. Now that's Shem, the first son. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. This is after the flood. Somebody said this is after the flood. All right. And these are the sons of Shem after their families and their tongues and their lands and after their nation. These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generation in their nations. Because there wasn't three, so you have all these nations in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So you got all these nations that they don't know, but God is giving them to three men. All right. That's why you're going to see how it was divided. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. But something happened in the meantime. So we got to go back to chapter 6. Chapter 5, I'm sorry. Let me back up further than that. In chapter 5, you got the generation of Noah. Genesis chapter 5. All right. Now, let's go down to read verse number 4. Now, let's start with verse 3. Verse 3. Thank you. Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own what? Likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now here come the righteous seed again. You got to understand something. The righteous seed did not start again until you got the Seth, S-E-T-H. All right. Because we know God already gave his righteous seed to one man, but he was killed. Anybody know what his name is in this church? Some of y'all don't. Two sons, one killed the other. We already passed that, right? What were they two names? Cain and Abel. So Abel was a righteous seed, but he's dead now. It's just like 6,000 years to us, God sent a righteous seed here, and his brother killed him. Anybody know the righteous seed that came here 6,000 years later? Christ. Come on, man. I gave you that last week. I said Galatians 4:16, Christ is the righteous seed. I gave you Galatians 4:19, Christ got to be formed in you. See, I can tell when you haven't studied, but it's okay. We're going to move on. All right, verse number 4. God gave this righteous seed a name, Seth. All right, verse number 4, read. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. That's the first place you're going to see Adam now producing daughters, because he had to have a righteous seed. Now he can produce sons and daughters. All right, verse 5. And all the days of Adam have lived 930 years, and he died. All right. Then you're going to begin to see the righteous seed, which is, that's not my concern right now. Go to chapter 6, verse 1. See, if you don't know what I'm telling you, you don't know what happened in chapter 6. And in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and what? Daughter were born of them. When did daughter start? Genesis chapter 5, I just gave it to you. Seth, S-E-T-H. You got to write that down. Daughters, well, I said, a daughter's just started in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 4. I said, write that down. Just mark up under that. Sons and daughters. You're not going to see sons and daughter before that. See, sons and daughter. Now you got to write to see. Because this is before the flood. See, if you understand Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 8, you understand the whole Bible. Because God is telling you everything that happened in 8 chapters. And then he began. So he began with Abraham. And everything he did from Genesis, the first chapter of Genesis to the 8th chapter, is showing you what's going to happen from Abraham to the end of the world. See, the first world was destroyed by flood. When was it destroyed? After the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men. So you have to know, why did God destroy the first world? Why did he destroy the world when Jesus came? Jesus came at the end of the world. The people that don't know the Bible is what your problem is. Because they are telling you it's in your future. But that's why Jesus came. The Bible said Jesus came at the end of the world. It's in your Bible. But we believe in people and not the Bible. Those who believe the Bible, listen. All right, verse number, chapter 6, and verse 1, read. And it came to pass when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Now we're talking about these daughters are of the righteous. We're talking about these sons of God, the daughters of men, I'm sorry. But you got the sons of God. Now remember, I just told you, Paul came out and says, the new creation has come. That is his message, a shout. The new creation has come. What did he mean when he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature? What is he trying to tell them? Now the sons of God are here. See, that's why I've been ministering to you. I'm just going to give you some of the tapes I gave you. I gave you, we were crucified with Christ. Why did he do that? See, you got to understand, today is telling you why he did all of that. Why did he crucify us with Christ? And then he says, we were created in Christ Jesus. Who was created in Christ Jesus? Sons of God. So you got to understand, sons of God, we were created in Christ Jesus. Write down this scripture. John 12:24. Except a corn of wheat, put it on the screen. So you have to know what God is doing. If you don't know the purpose of God, you don't know who you are today. See, that's why you can't minister this Bible unless you have the revelation of the mystery. The revelation of the mystery is what qualifies you to minister the new covenant. You must become a new covenant minister by knowing the revelation of the mystery before you can minister the new covenant. You get all that? All right, verse 24, John. See, John was the only one that was not a synoptic gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is a synoptic gospel. Anybody know what the word synoptic means? It means it's all about what Jesus has done. See, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell you what Jesus had done. John tell you who Jesus is. It's not a synoptic gospel. See, you don't have to take my word for it. I'm not that smart. I'm a student. So all you got to do, look up the word synoptic. It'll tell you Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is a synoptic gospel. Because they're only going to tell you about Jesus here. Jesus, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to have the birth of Jesus. You're going to have his family. Everything about him, what he done. You don't have that in John. John started out as who he is. He's the Word of God. He's the Word made flesh. He is the seven I ams. See, you don't have that over here. John's all about who he is. John is about sons of God. You're not going to get that in Matthew, Mark, Luke. So that's why John is not a synoptic gospel. It's about who Jesus is. When you study John, he'll tell you in John 1 and 11 and 12, write that down. We go there in a minute. John 1, 9, 11, and 12. Verse 12 especially. See, John is about who he is. That's why you got to know the Apostle Paul ministry. Because the Apostle Paul ministry is about who he is. And what he's done to get to who you are. See, Jesus gave us who he is to make us who he is. All right, we are in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 at the meantime. Read. John 12, 24. Put it on the screen. All right. John 12, 24. Let's get that out of the way, huh? Now, Jesus is ministering to Jews who already think that they are children of Abraham. See, the Bible talked about in the Bible, children of Abraham. But you had not got to be children of God till you got to Paul. See, that is the whole thing. When you got to Abraham, we are Abraham's seed. See, we are children of Abraham. And they were. Some of them. But that do not make you a son of God. See, this is why when Jesus came to do, he came to get rid of that. Get rid of division. Get rid of Jew and Gentile. And make just sons of God. But see, we don't recognize that and don't recognize the honor that nobody from the days of Noah all the way until Jesus, you could be called a son of God. That's why when Jesus came, he was the only begotten son of God. But he came to make us who wants to be. I said who wants to be. Because everybody don't want to be. That's what God told me. He said, don't get out there trying to make something happen because some folk don't want to be. But God got rid of the natural identity at the cross. And I'm going to show you how he made the new man. You got all that coming. I said, how he did it. See, if you don't know how he did it, you're not sure he did it. And God showed us in the book how he did it. All right, John chapter 12, verse 24. This is what Jesus did. He is the righteous seed. I'm going to go and show it to you in one of his teachings in Matthew chapter 13. We go there next, Matthew 13. We're going to show you how he did it. He had to be first birthed as a righteous seed. We know that happened when God birthed him. And that's what God did to you. He birthed you. That's how you got to be sons of God. You were birthed. Now, you don't have to accept this. You can go on and be ignorant. Or you can accept what God has done for you. And start acting like who you really are. All right, verse number 24. Let's back up because we're going to show you how this brought about. Go to verse 30. This Greek came to Jesus and he realized he could not help him now. In verse 20, John chapter number 12, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. So they came to a Jewish feast to worship. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sirs, we will see Jesus. Now, you got to hear this from a Greek. a Gentile who wants to worship at the feast. The Jews was not going to have this. So this blew Philip's mind. So he's gonna come to and tell his brother Andrew. And Andrew and Philip, they're going to both go and tell Jesus. And Jesus is going to answer and say to him, see, Jesus knew for this to happen, I got to go to the cross. See, this is why he had to go. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. It's time for me to die. Because if they're going to come to Jesus, they can't come as a Jew. It's the same thing he said to Nicodemus. You must be born again. Well, born again did not happen because you did something. Born again happened at the cross. It's what God did with his own son when he buried him. He suffered, died, buried, raised again from the dead to born you again. You was not born again. It was impossible. With man, it's impossible. Go back and read it again. With man, it is impossible. God himself had to born you again, just like you was born the first time in your mother's womb. You couldn't do that. God born you here. God born you here. That's why you ought to be accepting born again. You ought to know because you recognize who born you the first time. All right. Verse number 24. Read. Verily, verily, I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground, who is the corn of wheat? Christ. Unless he fall into the ground and die, he going to abide alone. But if he die, he's going to bring forth much fruit. How many know who that is? That's us. See, you read John chapter 15, start with verse 1. I'm not going to do that now. It's all about fruit. More fruit, much fruit. I'm not going there now. But that's what he came to do, is bring forth fruit. Now, let's show you that in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. We'll come back to John 1, 9 through 12, I think. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 13. You have to know what God wanted. You got to know what his purpose or why his son had to die. If he did not die, you could not become sons. Matthew chapter 13. Let's go to verse number 34. He's going to explain the parable. I'm not going to read the parable. The parable already been written. I won't explain the parable. That's verse 34. All right. And all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I would open my mouth in parables, I would utter things which was kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and they went into the house. His disciples came to him, saying, declare unto us, Father, the parable of the tares of the field. Watch what Jesus is going to say. Now, this is what happened in Genesis. I'm going to go back to Genesis 6. I haven't begun. And verse, this is what's happened. I'm going to go back. After I go to John, I'm going back to Genesis. You ought to have your notes of where I'm going. All right. Verse number 36. Declare to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, he that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. I told you who the good seed is. The Son of Man. Seth. Seth, the good seed. Are you following me? Just like it was in the new covenant, it was Jesus. All right? Now, remember Jesus called Son of Man, Son of Adam? Seth is Son of Adam. Do anybody understand what I'm saying? All right, you got to be able to relate to one to the other, okay? Now he's going to tell you who the field is. What did he sow him at? In the world. The field is the world. Well, where was Jesus born at? In the world. God so loved the world. So you got to be able to just listen to what it's saying. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He sowed his only begotten son into the world. All right. So now he said the field is the world. Now he said the good seed are the children of the kingdom. Now John chapter 12. After he sowed the good seed, what did he get? Let me say it again. The good seed is the children of the kingdom. After he sowed the good seed, back in verse 37, Christ is the good seed. Once he sowed him, what did he get? I gave you John chapter 12, verse 24. Except a good seed fall into the world and earth and die, it's going to abide alone. But if it dies, it's going to bring forth good seed. Let me put it this way. I'm going to have to minister, because the only way you're going to know this is going to have the Spirit in you. I know everybody thinks they got the Spirit, but why you don't know what I know if you don't have the Spirit? If you got the Spirit, why you can't see what I see? That's not to put you down. It's to say, you know what? Maybe I don't have the Spirit after all. And maybe you do, but you do not know how to yield to the Spirit. You're trying to yield this up here. You can't get it up there. You was not an A student in school, were you? Let me ask you a question. How many of you were A students in school? Don't answer the question. I knew I wasn't. The only A's I made were absent. So if I had absent my poor card, I have some A's. That's all. The only way I got it. See, I don't mind about telling God I don't know. The greatest thing you can do to learn with God is, Lord, I don't know what's going on. See, when he told me that Christ lives in here, and I know he lives in here, I don't depend on myself for nothing no more. I went through something in my back by picking up some stuff too heavy in a wrong position. I said this to the Lord. I said, you live in this house. You are the anointing. Release your anointing in my flesh. And then I found out that the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Were you the Spirit? You are the anointing. So the flesh is trying to get you to keep from being who you are in me. Release your anointing. Destroy the yokes in my flesh immediately. See, I'm learning how to allow him to be who he is in me. All right. He's not in you just to be in you. He's in you to live your life through you. And the flesh is to keep you from living your life. His life ain't none of you in me no way. So the flesh is still here to keep him from living his life. It's like the darkness is here to keep the light from shining. Any way you want to receive it. All right, now let me go through this again. Please listen. Verse 37. Listen. Are you there? Read. He asked and said to them, he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man? Adam. Back then, Genesis, Jesus is the Son of Man. The good seed is the Son of Man. Verse 38. Now the Father already sowed the Son of Man. Mary birthed him. Do everybody know who I am yet? All right, now here we go. He's going to send him into the world. He's going to die in the world, the fields of the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Now he got children. Once they sowed the seed, now you got children of the kingdom. It's not you. See, you see in you. Just believe the word. Israel were called the children of the kingdom. Find it for me, wife. Israel were called the children of the kingdom. They were cast out in outer darkness. See, they were the children of the kingdom. Then he said, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. See, you during Jesus' ministry, you had the good seed, Jesus, the children of the kingdom, who is Israel, or the Jews, not just Israel, the Jews. And then you had the children of the tares, the one who didn't want Christ. They were the opposition, just like it is now. They are the flesh. They don't want the Spirit to prosper. They will always speak against the Spirit. They are children of the flesh, children of the wicked one. And you got to recognize that. All right? But here you have the children of the good seed, the children of the kingdom, the tares are the children of the wicked one. All right? Now let's go. Verse 39. The enemy that sold them is who? Is the devil. The devil sowed those tares among the wheat. So you got to understand, when I go back to Genesis 6, you're going to see it. The harvest is the end of the world, which happened in the days of Jesus Christ. And the reapers are the angels. He's telling them what happened once he left, because it started in the book of Acts. Then it says in verse number 40, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. Well, when were they gathered and burned in the fire? 2,000 years ago, Jesus told them what's getting ready to happen. He was the last prophet who was sent to Israel. You had Israel, children of the kingdom. Those who did not want him were children of tares. You got to hear me what I'm saying, because I'm going to come to you next. And they were born in the fire, so shall it be 2,000 years ago in the end of this world. Not down here where Crump at. 2,000 years ago, it was the end of their world. All right. Verse 41. The Son of Man shall send forth. Now, he tell them how it's going to happen. You can get this in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 14 through 20, if you want to keep notes. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, because I'm going to go back and show you in Genesis, he had angels before he had man. And they rebelled against him by a leader called Satan. That's why the rejoicing at Paul, when Christ got the victory, he got the victory over principalities and powers who was trying to stop Christ, the Father, from producing sons. That's what happened in Genesis. When the enemy came against Eve and tempted her, it was to keep the father from bringing forth children. If he did not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve could have brought forth sons of God forever. And there would not been no Jews and Gentiles. You have to be able to see what God did. So when Jesus came, he came to correct everything, fulfill everything, and put man back where he fell from, and now God can produce sons of God who are us in the earth today. Verse 39, the enemy that sold them, the tares, how did he sow them? Cain. When you read 1 John, it told you Cain was of that wicked one. Find out from your wife. In 1 John, I think it's chapter 2 somewhere in there, but 2 or 3. Cain was of that wicked one. So that's how he sold him. Cain, the enemy that sold him is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The tares are going to be burned up. Now that happened already, because you don't have tares today. You don't have wheat today. Verse number 41. And the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom. Gather out of his kingdom. You're not gathering out of his kingdom in your dispensation. Christ fulfilled that now. Christ is the kingdom of God now. The kingdom of God is in you. They were waiting for the kingdom to come. God was going to set up his kingdom on the earth in Israel. But they rejected him and rejected his kingdom and killed the king. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. That's already happened. You read Revelation. There shall be wailing and weeping of teeth. Then, remember, that's the righteous seed when I go back. Then the righteous seed, shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their fathers. Who had ears to hear, let him hear. Now, that same thing is what God doing today, but it's different term. Who has my word? Let's go back there first. See, in Matthew chapter 8, 12, he told you that they were children of the kingdom. You are not children of the kingdom. You are sons of God. But you got to understand, it's only if you want to be. You could be just like Israel. God had already predestined them to be conformed to the image of his son, just like he has you. So you can goof off, speak against it, whatever. but you'll remain in flesh. Or you can believe what the Bible is telling you, that I'm telling you the Bible says, and receive your salvation. All right. Your salvation is not in your flesh. See, I'm not here to tell you you don't have a lot, but that's not your salvation. Because everything you got will be right here when you leave. Do you understand that? Salvation is eternal. What God has for you is not just for here, it's for your eternal life. What you would have with him forever. So don't mix on what I got now. When you die here, it's over. And if I wear size 42, I wear 46 long. And somebody else wear size, you understand what I mean? If somebody else wear 46 long, they're going to wear my suit. Do you understand? So don't get caught up in the natural stuff. All right? Matthew chapter 8, what do I want, baby? All right, verse number 12. I'm not going to read down to that. Let's start verse 11. Matthew 8, 11. Are you there? All right, let's read. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Where? In the kingdom. Where's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Right. That's why when you get to Christ, that's why Christ had to come. They was in a place called the kingdom, but they couldn't stay there. When Jesus, that's where they went when they died in the old covenant. They went into the kingdom of God. All right? They went into the what they call the kingdom of heaven. Now, when Jesus led captivity captive, the Bible says, he led captivity captive. He led that kingdom because everything had to be put in. They were put into Christ. They were put into Christ. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, come, they were put in the kingdom. All right? I don't have time to teach you that right now. All right? Now, verse number 12. Read. But the children of the kingdom. Now, he's going to tell you. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. Now, wait a minute. What's going on here? They're going to be cast out in outer darkness. Because they're going to be cast down. That's why when you find out, they're going to fall out. They're going to fall. You're going to, all this, even Satan himself going to fall. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? See? All right. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, how in the world they get cast out? They didn't reject the Christ. They were only children of the kingdom. Just like you are, you adore faith. That's not mean you're saved. Because you children of the kingdom, that didn't mean you were saved. Christ came to make you sons of God. They rejected that. We children of Abraham. See, we children of Abraham. Isaac, see, that's who why he named them earlier. But that did not matter. And he came to make them sons of God, and they rejected it. Don't you do the same thing. All right. Now, did I give you anything else? 1 John chapter 3. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Now, in 1 John chapter 3, he's going to tell them of your father, the devil. So you have to know that's who Cain was. So when Jesus Christ came, there were the children of Cain, and there were the children of God. When Jesus came, Jesus was a righteous seed. It was just like it was a showdown between Cain and Abel. So that's why Judas Iscariot was the child of the devil. So that's why when you got into the book of Acts, in a few chapters in the book of Acts, Paul met the same spirit in a man and called him the son of the devil. Somebody can find me that. I don't know if you can. It's in the first few chapters of the book of Acts. Soon Paul, in chapter 13, I think, Paul started his ministry. I think it's chapter 12 or 13. That child of the devil. All right. So you got to understand something. That spirit goes on. It just enters different people. And you got to understand that he can only work in your flesh. Hold on to that. Let's do 1 John 1 John 2, what? 1 John chapter 3. Let's start off with verse 1, and then we're going to go down. We'll read the first three verses first. Now, this is what John, remember what John shouted? Behold, that's the emphasis you put on the new creation has come. See, behold is a shouting word. Look here. That's why they talked about when Jesus came back to the Jews. Behold, he come with clouds. That's a shouting word. Look here. Look, look, look. Verse number one. Read it that way. Look, look, look. That's what it means. Behold, look, look, look. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. I mean, look here. That we should be called what? You got to understand, this had never happened. This is what God's plan was in Genesis when the enemy seduced Eve to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's when that left. That's why in Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God was destroyed. So God had Shem, Ham, and Japheth to replenish the earth. Ham was the children of Israel. And I'm going to show you these both other were Gentiles. All were Gentiles at the beginning. But when he got to Genesis 17, God separated the nation into two, which he made Jews and Gentiles. Genesis 17. Make sure you put in your notes. We're going to go there. Not now. All this should be in your notes. I've said it a lot of times. All right. Let's go to 1 John first. 1 John 3. Look, look, look. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Sons of God is a new title. See, sons of God is greater than pastor. Sons of God is greater than husband. Sons of God is greater than wife. This is your greatest. This is how you will be treated in the earth with all angels. They don't recognize you as Pastor Crump, Father Crump. None of these other. They recognize you as a son of the living God. You ought to give him praise in this house. All angels serve you because you are a son. And if you are a son, that makes you an Ab God. You got to know who you are. If being a son, you sit in heavenly places. This kingdom of God, you are sons of God, is not earthly. It's heavenly. This is how they know you in heavenly places. Angels, heavenly. Anybody heavenly know you. That's why Daniel was a heavenly man. Jeremiah was a heavenly man. That's why I like watching Jeremiah, because when Babylon came in to destroy all Israel, Jeremiah was locked up. The people broke down the fence of Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, come out, Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, how do you know me from Babylon? All men know you, Jeremiah. What is he saying? See, you got to understand something. Everybody know you. You are a son of the living God. Why you think people know Jesus? Why? He was the only, but he's not the only anymore. See, we still got that. Well, he's the only begotten son. Listen, he was the only begotten so he can give his life, so he can the Father can have sons. Come on, let him tell us. Look, look, look. Behold, what manner the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. See, when people is not in Christ, they don't know you. Therefore, the world knoweth not because it knew him not. They didn't know Jesus. Why do you think they crucified him? Because they didn't know him. That's why people act their way or towards you, because they don't know you. They didn't know him neither, and they crucified him. They found out who he was. That's why Jesus said, after you lift up the Son of Man, you're going to know I'm he. All right, verse 2, read. Beloved, so you got two words, behold and beloved. Now, when are you sons of God? When can somebody get a happy? See, it's not me. It's not me you're talking to. It's your Father. You know what I like about, you know what they do at a game? They don't even ask you to applaud. They put it on a sign and have a girl with a bikini on to walk around in your faith, and you go, oh, I stand up and holler. Will you applaud your Heavenly Father that you are sons of the living God? When are you sons?
Now.
See, when I get down to the other, you're going to be jumping up and down. You got to jump up and down now. Now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we're going to be like him. See, that's the thing. You like him right now. That's how you got to live like him, because the devil don't know who you are until you act different. You get me later. All right, now what I tell you to go next? Come on, quickly. Matthew 13, what? Acts chapter 13. First John. Go back to First John first. All right, let me do this here. Matthew, 1 John 3. All right. 1 John chapter 3, start verse 11. Are you there? 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. Are you there? All right. I did start early. I was supposed to finish. Verse 11, read. For this is the message that you heard from when? From the beginning, from Cain and Abel. That we heard from the beginning that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked. What's the greatest thing God want you to do? Love one another. That's why 1 Corinthians, that you cannot speak evil of anybody if you love them. So you got to ask yourself a question. Are you loving me? Are we loving one another? Because you have one thing to do, and I did not ask you to do that. Your father did. Because you are not acting like your father when you don't love. Look at somebody and say, I'm acting just like my father. From now on. Okay, start today. Start sometime. Because your father's love. You are representing your own father. So you got to understand your job. He commanded. Listen, God's purpose in you is to love. By this shall all men know you are his son, not disciples. To them they were disciples. You a son. How are everybody going to know you a son? Because you can love. When somebody do you wrong, put you down, everything, speak against you falsely, you can still love them. You still love them. I pray for you this morning. Between 4:30 and 5:30, I left home before then. I'm here before 5:30. I already pray for you. You're part of this ministry, your name on my list. I don't act because you act. I'm going to pray for you. That's my responsibility as a son. I got to love you. I'm not doing that for you. It's Christ in me, then I got to love. If Christ is in me, why can't I love? I'm born of love. Oh, this is good to me. 1 John 3:11. And this is a message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Watch this. Not as Cain. That ain't no love. What did Cain do to Abel? Everybody, what? How do you kill somebody today? Speaking evil. Speaking evil. Speaking evil. Criticizing. Trying to hold them down and back. That's the work of the devil. Everything I just said is not love. See, that come out of the flesh, man. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. And he slew his brother. The Bible tell you how you kill today in the world. It tell you. You do it with your mouth. And wherefore slew he him? Why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil. His own works were evil. And his brother's works were righteous. That's why he killed him. All right, now, I got one more thing I'm going to do. You know what? I'm out. I'm going to start that next one. Because if I go back to Genesis chapter 6, we'll start that next service. All right? Get a Lord a great big hand because my time is already gone. I want to make sure that we are on the other side in the next 3 or 4 minutes. Okay? All right. Get a Lord a great big hand. Come on, stand up on your feet. We want to give you your ample amount of time on the other side. So we want to get out of here. Get on the other side. All right? So we can start the next service on time. All right? Can you give the Lord another big hand? Come on now. You learn a lot today now. Come on, come on, come on. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that you are sons. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. This is what you have to do. You have to believe the gospel. And verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you have received and where you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Christ already died, already buried, already raised again from the dead. When you believe this, God give you his spirit. The spirit of love come in you. The Holy Ghost is the spirit of love. Christ in you is God's love in you. You are full of God's love. So, Father, we thank you now for your love. And the door of faith is open unto you. Give the Lord a great big hand this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Door of Faith Ministries podcast. I hope this message was a blessing to you, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode. If you're listening on iTunes, be sure to give us a 5-star rating. Also, be sure to find us online at www.mydooroffaith.org. That's www.mydooroffaith.org.